Job chapter 19. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I'm going to start reading in verse number 23. And I'm going to talk just about a simple topic that if you're saved in here tonight, you know about it. You know about it. I'm just going to talk about redemption. Isn't it wonderful to be redeemed? Isn't it wonderful to be redeemed? Hello? Isn't it wonderful to be redeemed? Now, send me a text later. It's wonderful to be redeemed. It really is. That means I'm not going to hell no more. Thank God. Is anybody happy about that? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hey, I'm saying thank the Lord. I'm not going to hell because I know I deserve it. As a lost person, listen, as a lost person, I know I deserved to go to hell. Sin, not just sin that I committed, but the very fact that I was a sinner. Hey, let me tell you this here. Let me tell you this here, wandering child. As a saint, I've done things worthy of hell. You don't think we deserve hell? I promise you, we ought to be rejoicing about being redeemed. Amen? Rejoicing about being redeemed. If you would stand with me and we'll read about four or five verses, something like that, four verses. Five verses. We'll read till we get done either way. Amen. No more than five, though. Job chapter number 19, the Bible says, in verse 23. Anybody born in that year? Nobody? 32? Getting closer? Nobody. Well, was anybody born on August the 18th, 81 years ago? Amen. Happy birthday, Brother Leo. Amen. Amen. Yours is today. Ava's is in 2 days. And 2 days from now is her birthday, and 2 days from now is the 23rd anniversary of my dad going home to the Lord. He also died on the 20th of August. Verse 23, chapter 19. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Father, I pray that you'd help us touch what's said for your glory. God, we can't do nothing. We can't do nothing. Mess up everything we try to do. Mess up everything we try to touch. And then glory like we've done something big. Help us, I pray, God, just to stay out of your way. Help us to be used of you, Lord, and God will thank you for what you do through us to help us for your glory, God, to magnify the Son of God. Help me, I pray. Help me, I pray, please. Please keep my mind focused on you, Lord. Don't let me look at people. Don't let me look at things. But God, help me to be just focused on you, and I'll thank you and I'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Redemption. Redemption. It's amazing that Lot knew so much about a redeemer in a time that he lived when a redeemer is not really mentioned. They say that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. I looked it up, and the lifetime the writings of Job is so close to that of Genesis that it would probably be an argumentative point for some people, but not for me. I'm not interested. I wasn't interested in a chicken. I wouldn't argue with a chicken if I said she laid a medium-sized egg and she said, no, that was a large. I'd just say, okay. I don't understand people wanting to argue all the time. I don't understand that. But that's not me. That's not my cup of tea. But Job is talking about redemption. He's talking about a redeemer. Job was faced with a situation that was of such adversity. His decision, it brought him to a decision that he literally had to drive down a stake, if you will. Brother Gary, he had to make a decision. This is where I'm going to stay. I'm going to be planted right here. He made up his mind. I read over here in Hebrews chapter number 6. The Bible says this. Bible says in chapter 6, verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. This is something that Job may not have realized he was doing, but was doing. He was throwing out an anchor. He had a hope in a Redeemer. He said this in verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. How did he know? Where did he get that from? You want to talk about redemption in the Old Testament? You'll have to go to the book of Exodus. Israel was redeemed out of Egypt. There was a sacrificial lamb that had come to be a redemption for the sin of the year. That's the basics of it. The sin that took Israel clean out into a ungodly, wicked and vile environment like Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world. Egypt being a place where Pharaoh is in charge, where he's given the orders, where he's telling them what to do and how to do it and where to work and how to work. They're now in a place where they thought that one day that they might have liberty. But can I tell you, when you turn your back on God, when you turn your back on God, it's going to cost you somewhere down the road. It's going to cost you somewhere down the road. It's going to cost you your, it might cost you your wife. It might cost you your husband, ma'am. It might cost you your children. I know we're living in an hour when nobody believes that God still does stuff like that, but you just hang in there, friend. You might be one of the perfect examples of how the Lord can straighten folk out and drive them back to an old rugged cross, and not to get saved again, Brother Darnell, but to get right with God, to see that Redeemer, to talk to that Redeemer one more time, and just get to the place where God can say, hey, do you understand why we're here tonight? Do you understand why I'm dealing with you and your family? Do you understand why I have drawn your attention
Are you understanding the necessity of a Redeemer of redemption in your family?
There will come that time. There will come that time. We see that he specifies in that verse 25 right there. I know. I've no doubt. I don't have to question it. Can I tell you, I laid down last night and I was not worried that I was whether I was still saved or not. I laid down last night and I was not worried whether I was still a child of God or not. I laid down last night, Brother Larry, and as a matter of fact, instead of worrying and me telling God, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this night. My nerves are shot and I'm worried about being lost. And because I thought something bad about the guy that pulled out in front of me today, will I make it to heaven if I die? I did not, but I laid down Brother Dan and I thanked him for what all he'd done all day long. I just blessed his holy name. I said, thank you, Lord. And I wound up praying and thanking him from the bed that I was laying in. I didn't want to forget that. I'm saying that God's been so good to us. Job wanted these thoughts. These thoughts are important. He starts this text out and said, oh, are you listening? Oh, that my words. He wanted his words heard. I wanted you to look at just a couple of things with us, and we'll try not to tarry too long. I know you're tired. It says it on your face. I know you're tired. I just want to thank you for being here. I know you're tired. Some of you worked long, probably worked right up to about church time. I just want to say thank you for being here. If there wasn't but five of you here tonight, I'd say thank you for being here. Just thank you for being here. But I want you to notice just a few things that Job wanted about these words. Number one, he wanted his words preserved. Brother Jeff, he wanted them preserved. He wanted them to last. He said, oh, that my words were now written. I mean, listen, you ever notice this? Anybody ever told you something and you forgot what they said? Have you ever told somebody something and they forgot what you said? Absolutely. Absolutely. Just a spoken word does not have enough carrying power to stay with us. But Job says right here, he said, I don't want these words spoken. He says, I'd rather have them written. Job didn't have no idea that one day that the very words that he was praying and asking God that these words would be written down in a King James Bible so that we could read it every day if we needed to, every night if we needed to, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every opportunity we picked up a Bible, we could read it and see what it was that Job was trying to remind us of about his Redeemer. He said, all that my words were now written. Not a spoken word. Spoken words, they're easily forgotten. They can be distorted. They can be taken out of context. I've said things to people before and they come back and say, you said this? Yeah, I didn't say that. I said, oh yeah, you did. You said it. And they tell me what I said. I said, I didn't say it like that. Anybody ever done you like that? I bet you if you've ever talked to someone, they have. Job wanted it written down. He said he wanted some preserved words. He said, oh, that my words were now written. This is important when you're talking about the Redeemer. This is important whenever you're talking about somebody that'll pay your debt. The greatest, the most important thing in the world is to talk about is Jesus Christ, how he'll die for a man's sin and how he'll pay a debt. And that one day that man could accept that shed blood that he shed at Calvary and be born again into the family of God. He wanted it to be preserved words. Brother Darnell, he wanted it to be published words, not just preserved. And he said, I want it to be published. I was talking to Brother Joseph this afternoon. Brother Joseph, how are you? And Brother Joseph's been burdened for a long time. I don't know if he's talked to you about this, Brother Gary. But he's been burdened for a long time because the only Bible they have, the Swahili Bible, it's not a King James Bible. It's the nearest to they have because there's so many words that are in the English that is not in Swahili. The same problem is in the Spanish language. There's so many words in the English language that we have in a Bible that there's not a word for that in English. It's from what I understand. Let me clarify that. Somebody will come up to me and say, "Oh no, everybody, every word in there." I almost get to the place where when I say amen, I'm going to run out the side door. I get two bodyguards up there, get Noah on one side, Ethan on the other, and if they see somebody running at me, just tackle them. You know what to do. I know they ain't got a helmet. I don't care. I'm just kidding. He's smiling too good about that, Brother Darnell. He's smiling too good about that right there. But listen, I'm just saying, I want you to notice, he said, Job wanted these words to be published. Whereas, let's see what Scripture said. First part, he says, oh, that my words were now written. He says, now the second part, he says, oh, that they were printed in a book. Wow. Little did he know. Little did he know. Little did he know. I heard a song goes kind of like that one time. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. He said, oh, that they were printed in a book. Job wanted this words. Hey, there's something about them. I'm telling you, they were so much that Job, and let me say it like this. There was so much that we think that Job didn't know. Did that make sense? Most certainly, does that make sense? There is so much that we think that Job didn't know. But when you start reading behind Job, I'm wanting to say there was so much that Job knew long before I ever knew, long before I ever understand. He wanted what he was fixing to say put in a book. He wanted it written, and he wanted it put in a book. He wanted it in a place where it wasn't just going to become idle. What I was talking about, Brother Joseph, he's been working, he's been laboring over a year now, and says he's probably got another year better to go, and trying to convert the Bible that they have into the nearest form of a King James Bible in Swahili. I said, what a job. What a labor. What a task. What a task. I said, what are you going to do? I said, how are you going to do it? He says, well, I'm taking words. And he says, I'm looking at these words, and sometimes this one word, it may have two or three definitions. He says, we set that word apart and we pray. He says, I'll gather the men together and we pray over this one word. When was the last time? Hey, when was the last time that you wasn't sure about something you was reading? And instead of coming to your own conclusion of it, you gathered friends together and said, let's pray because I want to understand this right. Well, Jim Jones probably didn't. I believe that'd be safe to say right there, wouldn't you? He wanted it printed in a book. Job wanted these words to be circulated everywhere. Listen, how many times have you ever heard of somebody having one book printed, just one book? Don't print two. I just want one. No, he wanted this in a book. He wanted this to be where it could be put out. He wanted this to be where it could go all over the world. He wanted it to be everywhere. Yeah, I got to wonder about that, Brother Larry. How many Bibles must have been printed since they started printing Bibles? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, John Owen, how many Bibles there must have been? I don't know. Somebody in here may know. I know this. The Quran.
There's been over 800 million copies of the Quran. You know what the Quran is not? The Bible. You know what the Quran does not do? Doesn't point nobody to Jesus. The Book of Mormon, there's been over 120 million copies printed. You know what the Book of Mormon doesn't do? Point nobody to Jesus. It does. It does tell everybody. I believe, Jeremy, you've done a study on this one time before. I believe it does tell everybody that Jesus and the devil is brothers. Isn't that right? That's what I'm just saying. I'm saying a lot of people have spent a lot of money putting a lot of books out there to make some kind of showing for themselves. But I did find a number. I did find, and it's just a number, Brother Leroy. Don't go gamble on it. Don't go buy a lottery ticket because of this number or nothing. This is not a sign from heaven. This is just a number. I did read where that there has been over 5 billion Bibles printed in time. You say, man, that's a lot of Bibles. That's a lot of Bibles. Well, I got a few Bibles at my house. You got a few Bibles at your house. Everybody in here probably got 2, 3, maybe 4, 5. The first time we went to Africa, and they helped ministry supplied Bibles for them over there. We seen people for the first time receive a Bible. And you're talking about some happy people. They were ecstatic, wasn't they? I mean, just like they cuddled that thing like it was like they was a little girl with a new teddy bear. I mean, just cherished it and just held it up there close to them and loved it. And boy, it's kind of sad to say how we treat our Bible sometimes. It's published. It was a preserved word that he had to say. It was a published word that he desired. It's a perpetuated word that he had. You know what he says? He said, verse 24, look at it, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. This thing is settled. It'll not be changed. It ain't going nowhere. I might not understand it. That don't change it. I might not agree with it. That don't change it. I might not like it when it calls me out. That don't change it. I mean, it's a word that's going to stand forever and ever and ever and ever. He said, I want it preserved. I want it published. I want it perpetuated. I want it to last forevermore. It will stand the test of time. His faith, Job's faith was so strong. His belief was so powerful. He wanted the world to know what he knew. Job knew something even though he'd not heard about this Christ. He knew there was a God that cared. He said, I'm fixing to say something. I feel like it, Brother Glenn, sometimes I feel like I'm fixing to say something, but I'm scared to say it because nobody's listening. You ever feel like that, Brother Gary, when you're preaching, you say, man, I need to say something. I want to say something, but I'll wait till you get finished. Job said, I want to say something. I want to say something about this Redeemer. I want to say something about him because what I got to say is real good. Real good. I just found out, was it yesterday you told me Noah had a dream that I died? I didn't want to hear about that. And my wife told me, I said, oh my goodness, the word's getting around from heaven or someplace and God's telling the young people that I'm fixing to die. What really was bad about all that is I didn't show up for church Sunday morning. Be honest with you, son. All I want you to do is just
do your head like this, okay? Just will you, when I ask you, just do like this. I don't care if you're lying. When I didn't show up, did it bother you? Thank you. Wow. Scared me. You paused a little bit too long right there, Simon. Scared me. Hey, listen, that's okay. That's okay. I have dreams all the time. My wife didn't kill me, or I get up, wake up in the night, and I roll over inside the bed, and she ain't there. And I go, oh, Lord. Gone. So what do you do? I jump up and look and see if that bathroom light's on right quick, like, amen. Hey, I know that don't, y'all don't, y'all ain't never had thoughts like that. Y'all so holy. Y'all make me feel like a piece of backslidden dirt sometimes. Hey, amen. Am I right, Brother Darnell? You ever get around some people that's so holy? I'm telling you. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I think Medea's more holy than a little people call themselves Christians. Amen. Verse 25, the Bible says, for I know, here's what I got to say, here's what I wanted written, here's what I wanted printed in a book, here's what I wanted graven, I wanted graven, I wanted put in a rock. And it was. Thank God. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand. He is a him. It's somebody. It's a man. It's the Lord Jesus. It's my Savior. It's my Redeemer. It's my hope. Thank God. Thank God tonight I've got a blessed hope. And I'm looking forward to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. This afternoon, I was up here for a while, come up here and just able to sit down and read and study and pray and ask God to help. And I like to turn some music on if I can. The Lord hasn't never condemned me for it yet. He may convict me, and if he does, I'll turn it off. I'm sure there's some music I could turn on, get convicted over, but I come across four old men singing hymns. They were about, one of them was 82, and I think the other one was 81. The one that was 82 was singing high tenor. And then the one that was 80 was singing lead. And they had a bass singer, which was much younger. He may have been 60. But all they let him do was just sing bass. And they were just, a sermon, they were just singing hymns. And I'm sitting there just looking at my Bible and I'm writing scripture down, looking up scripture. And I stopped, Brother Jeff, and looked at them old men. And I thought about a song that you've heard it many times, Too Many Miles Behind Me. You know that's what they got. There's some of y'all in here tonight, you got too many miles behind you. Change, go a different direction now. I mean, you're at the place, Brother Darnell, when you and I both know if we're going to tell anybody about Jesus, we better get busy. A lot of people, let me insert this. A lot of people don't like the Gaithers. Anybody ever heard of it? It's not just the Gaithers. What do they call that thing, Kristen? The homecoming. That's it. Thank you. I know people personally don't like that. don't like that kind of singing. Because you've got so many people there that are of different denominations. But they're singing the same song. And I watched old George Yance singing that song about I don't go back there no more. I'm not the same person I used to be. I watched the man that sang with him, Glenn Payne. Glenn Payne, old man, sit over and just weep, wipe tears while they sing. I watched them. Glenn Payne died, and they done a special with George Yance, and he let them tell about when he died. And George Yance, they had sung together for over 32 years. And he was telling about that, and George Yance just sat there and wept, cried. I don't know if they went to church together. I don't know, Bub Zarnell. I do know this. They were friends. And they were singing the same song about the same Savior. And it's possible some of them folk might fuss and argue and carry on. I don't know. But I tell you, when I see them old people sing, when I'd see Vestal sit back there and sing, or Howard sit back there and sing, and I'd see that one of them, I can't think of his name, he looks like a drunk. What's his name? He used to sing with the Gaithers at one time. He looks like, who? Russ Taff. He looked rough as a one of them big old ugly bulldogs. I didn't mean nothing by that by looking at you, Brother Gary. I didn't mean Brother Gary looked like an ugly bulldog. You didn't take it like that, did you? Good, okay. Praise the Lord. I watch old Russ Taft just sit there and weep. The disciples said, It was James and John. We just covered this under this week. The disciples said this. We saw a man casting out demons that wouldn't follow us. So we forbade him. Jesus said, if he's doing this work in Jesus' name, leave him alone. Can I ask you, what is it? What is it do you think in our country has got so many, I'm using this term lightly now, so please don't be mad at me for using this term, okay? Lord, don't be upset right here. What is it do you think that's got so many Christians wanting to fuss and argue all the time? What do you think? St. Mary's, Georgia. Let's take a poll. Now, you don't live there, and I'm sorry, you only know of one church in St. Mary's, and that's good. That's where I want you to go to church at, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Don't stop. Brother Leo, you've been here a long time. How many Baptist churches do you think are here in St. Mary's, Brother Donnell? Sister Samantha, you travel. You're going around. How many? Anybody? 10 or 12? You can think of about 8. And there's another one 2 blocks away. 3 of them. Right there. He's surrounded. Well, that's innocence because you don't think you are, but really you are. And they live in the backyard of one of them.
I don't know. There's other churches that were splits off of Baptist churches. Why? That's honesty right there, isn't it? I wish sometimes adults could act like them babies. Just tell the truth. Don't try to give us the theological description of everything. Why? Why? 8 churches in a town like this? A friend of mine told me this one time. Did you ever notice that in every town there's only one Catholic church? Y'all probably didn't hear me. Did you ever notice that in about every town, unless it's a major size, Jacksonville town, there's only one Catholic church? Why? So they all get along. Oh, so what do you got to do to get along here? We kind of preach against drinking around here, don't we? I just brought that up. Just fell out of my mouth like that, you know. You know why? Because the devil, listen to me, the devil, I'm talking to you. I am talking to you, to you, to you. I'm talking to you. The devil has distracted you about what he wants done. Job was not distracted. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said, I know that I shall see him. And Job ain't heard nobody preach on Jesus. And the only, and I said this earlier, the only books in the Old Testament that even talks halfway very much about redemption is the book of Exodus and the book of Ruth. But Job knew. Job knew. And Job went through some fires that helped him get along by himself. All the fires ain't bad, though, Jeff. I don't want them. I don't want them. I don't want them. The whole time Ashland's been gone, man, I've been sick in my stomach. Just, you say why? Because that's a long span from over there to over here coming back across that water. Hey, just forgive me. I just can't help but think if the plane went down. They always tell me, said, Dad, don't be such a downer. I'm a realist. You get out there in that car going home tonight, you just as apt to get killed as anybody that's flying 3,500 feet in the air. A young lady just here, 2 weeks ago, in her car in Publix parking lot, a guy snatched her out of the car and is choking her down in the daylight. And my girls used to wonder, they'd say, Dad, church is over. They'd say, Dad, I need to run to the store. I got to get gas. Not now. Too late. It's done dark. You going home. I wasn't mad at them, Sister Kathy. I just wanted to protect them. And when this one here starts driving, she's going to be the same way. She won't let you drive till you probably about 40. Maybe not 40, 39. I said, I know. Don't try to confuse me. Don't try to change my mind. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Aren't you glad tonight? Seated at the right hand of the Father on high. We got a Redeemer sitting right there making intercession for us, waiting on us to pray some goofy prayer so He can straighten it out, waiting on us to go through some kind of a storm so He can comfort us, waiting on us to get in trouble so we can cry out and say, God, I need You tonight. Please help me. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, He's waiting right there. He's waiting on us. What a Redeemer. What a God. What a God. Father, thank You for helping me. Lord, I sure need You. I pray You'd help these folks too.
God, keep us safe. Our friends, Brother Chris in the hospital. Brother Tommy Edwards in the hospital. Brother Tyler Dove. I pray that you'd help him. God, so many others. Lord, during this time, God, just during this pandemic, I pray, Lord, that you will, God, give us strength, God, to go through it one more time. Fight one more battle. Go through one more storm. And live for you and serve you. And bless your holy name. Magnify you above all others. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.